I think it only makes sense to seek out and identify structures of authority, hierarchy, and domination in every aspect of life and to challenge them. Unless a justification for them can be given, they are illegitimate and should be dismantled to increase the scope of human freedom. Hello and welcome to the podcast. My name is Julia, and this podcast on the census and memorization is produced as part of the honors program at Maastricht University. As in the quote that I just read out to you by Noam Chomsky, an American linguist, the podcast will explore the need to dismantle the hierarchy of the census in order to create a less unisensory learning environment, but one that is making use of the different senses we have to increase both the quality and the inclusivity of education. So what is this hierarchy of the senses that I'm asking you to dismantle? The hierarchy of the senses ranks the senses from what is considered the most legitimate sense to the lower, less important senses. The senses are ranked with sight and hearing on top of the hierarchy, followed by then smell and taste, until what is considered to be the lowest senses reached, touch. Looking at research conducted by von Hoffmann, we can see that this hierarchy of the senses was already well in place in the early modern times in Europe. Looking at the Eurocentric and kind of Western history of this hierarchy, we can really see that it was very problematic. The senses were often connected to manners that people were supposed to show. And which of these manners you showed then was determining also the class that you belonged to. So the hierarchy was mobilized both to make classist as well as also racist assumptions. Racist because other than the senses themselves, people also started looking at the sensory organs and ranking them from what was considered to be the best to the worst, from higher class to lower class, and also from races that people regarded as lesser. Sight and hearing were on top of the hierarchy because they were both physically higher up in the body, therefore closer to the brain and to heaven, and in themselves considered to be more spiritual in their connection. On the other hand, then we had smell, taste, and touch, which were always considered to be more bodily. They were considered to be the senses that kind of guide you to these sinful pleasures connected with touch, with indulging in food. But other than this background, because of course we no longer live in early modern Europe, why are we now talking about it today? Well, we do no longer live in early modern Europe, but the hierarchy of the senses is still in place, especially in academia. Thinking back on my journey through academia so far, I don't remember a single time in university where I actually made use of smell, taste, and touch. All the information is always provided by me in terms of sight and hearing. I look at the book, I read the words, I look at graphs, I'm looking at PowerPoints while someone is lecturing to me, or while I'm listening to the arguments of my peers. Sight and hearing are how all the information is presented to me, but the total disregard of the other senses. But is that actually good education? Is this the best way to do it? In order to explore that, I first want to actually take us away from education. I want to see how the senses, and also the senses of smell, taste, and touch, as well as multisensory experiences, which combine the different senses, are used effectively and successfully at the moment, both outside and inside academia. I think whenever we think about the senses and kind of where we actually utilize them, one of the things that comes to mind for me regarding the what are considered to be the lower senses, such as smell and taste, is food. Food as an experience is, while of course sight is also important, the nicer the food is in terms of visuals, the more likely we're also to eat it, but the main importance here would actually be smell taste, and also touch, the mouthfeel. And food, while back in time was really seen as kind of simple and, you know, indulgent, can now really be valued when we look at high gastronomy, at restaurants with Michelin stars. But other than food, are there also fields in which we might not expect or look for the utilization of the senses? One of the fields that are currently evolving in this sense are museums. I'm sure a lot of you have went to museums in which you are not allowed to touch anything. Just look. Just see what is put there. If you're lucky, maybe they had a couple of kind of audio materials, recordings, that you could listen to while looking around at the paintings, at the animals displayed, at the history written on the wall. Ward, in 2014, published a book called The Multisensory Museum, Cross-Disciplinary Perspectives on Touch, Sound, Smell, Memory, and Space, and was calling for making the museum a more multisensory experience. Are you going to remember the museum that you went to and looked at everything? Or are you going to remember the experience of going to the museum as well as the content when you felt like you actually experienced it? When you're allowed to touch, when you're allowed to smell, get close to the things, walk around them while having a look, but also touching and feeling. But getting away from yet another place in which you might expect it a bit more, or I think it's easier to grasp why the senses make sense here, we're going to the field of medicine. And for that, I would like to review a book by Van Kampen called The Proust Effect, The Senses as a Doorway to Lost Memories. In order to better understand the concepts and the usages of the senses that I'm presenting afterwards, I think it's crucial for us to understand what's already in the title of the book, the Proust effect. So what is it? The Proust effect is referring to the vivid reliving of events from the past through sensory stimuli. You've probably experienced this yourself, because it sounds much more complicated than it actually is. This is the feeling of being transported back in time and of reliving an old memory when you smell this very familiar smell or you taste this kind of nostalgic taste. You hear a song or a melody and you're like, oh, I know this, and this reminds me of my childhood. This is the Proust effect. It's a feeling on your fingertips. A whiff of a smell when you walk by a bakery or someone else cooking under a window, or an old book. It's the smell you get from a specific kind of pastry or a fruit, and you're like, oh, this for me, this feels like my childhood, this is nostalgic. And then suddenly you get transported back into this very vivid memory and experience that you thought was long lost, and now you suddenly feel like you're right there again. Well, how can you actually utilize this effect in fields such as medicine? Currently, the theory of the Proust effect is being used when working with dementia patients, the patients who are losing their memory, who can no longer access these memories from the past. However, especially for these patients, a lot of the time there's a really important connotation when it comes to smell and taste from their youth, as these two senses make it much easier for them to remember things and to just put these people at ease, at joy, in comparison to kind of the current disrupted state they are oftentimes in because they feel so disconnected, because of that loss of memory. Okay, so other than helping people remember, what else can you do then with these senses? What can you do with, for example, the sense of smell that seems to be so important to these patients? You can not only make them remember things from their life, from the past, but you can also make the current life much easier for them, for example, in terms of getting around. This has been done, for example, in the Senser den Eumen Care Center and Nursing Home in Deutlichen in the Netherlands. There, the artist Peter de Coupere built what is called smellow flowers. Smell of flowers are construction that resembles flowers in the center of a nursing home that fills this nursing home with a specific smell throughout the year. The way it is utilized is that there's always a combination of color and smell. So in a specific part of a nursing home, you have a specific smell. And then on top of that, you also have the connection to a color. This color is found all throughout that specific part of the nursing home. For example, as the color of picture frames, again with pictures displaying flowers. So you have this multi-sensory exposure to the mix of both kind of a color and a smell that in the brain of the patient is inevitably connected to that specific part of the nursing home, making it much easier to them to really find this place or to locate where they are. Therefore, really improving kind of their day-to-day life as they're able to get around on their own much easier than with just being placed in a nursing home without kind of this aid of the smell and the color in combination. So, outside of academia, the multisensory is being explored a bit more currently and also already effectively used. But what does this look like inside academia? Well, in some fields, you do have some kind of practical sensory teaching elements and aspects. This is the case, for example, in medicine as well. So this field is coming back here because you want the students to have kind of specific motions go over into muscle memory. What is the motion of the surgery? What is the motion of kind of making this room for the patient? And the same is also the case in things such as music education. However, other than in specific field, what does kind of the broader education look like? Well, there the story is a bit different. While you do still have usually a very strong connection and also usage of the senses in kindergarten and elementary schools, especially in Montessori schools, where the focus really is on kind of creating these creative and practical environments in which people can really learn by exploring, this usually gets lost throughout academia the older the kids get. Up until the point where in high school and, also university later, as I told you before, you kind of only find sight and hearing instead of all the other senses. Now, I said it before that maybe this might also not be the best way. But on top of kind of taking the evidence of outside academia that the senses can actually be useful, I think it's very important for us now to also look at research that has been conducted and actually shows how beneficial the multisensory can be, as well as the utilization of just the different senses. For this, I want to look at three studies in the following part of the podcast, one by Pahor et al. From 2020, one by Shams and Zeitz from 2008, and one by Stevenson from 2016. These three research projects uncover very similar findings. All of them point out that the brain is actually much more used to multisensory environments. From the day we were born, we could never choose to just get one sensory stimuli. It was always an experience of the holistic, of the whole. You could hear something while seeing the visual input, while feeling the temperature and the wind, while kind of smelling what's going on around you. There was never kind of a situation where you just learned from one sense, but from the day we were born, it was a combination. If this is the more natural environment in which our brain learned to function, isn't that then also the environment in which the brain can really function more optimally? These studies have uncovered that multisensory, if done in a meaningful way, is actually much more helpful for us to remember things than unisensory. What does it mean in a much more meaningful way? Well, that means that there are some requirements, and that is that the multisensory input cannot be arbitrary. The sound that we are presented needs to match up with, for example, the sight, or the smell, or the feel. A very simple example to really make you understand this is that if you hear a barking sound and a dog, your brain automatically knows, yes, these go together. However, if we do a picture of a dog and a meowing sound, your brain from past experiment is already going to judge this as arbitrary and not meaningful, which is going to make it a bit harder for you to actually remember the information that you were shown, because your brain is telling you that this just doesn't really make sense. But if we really manage to connect the senses to the topic that we're trying to teach in a meaningful way, then it's going to be much easier for students to retain the information that has been taught to them. And what's also really interesting to note, what all these studies uncovered, is really how good the brain is at processing the multisensory. If we get multisensory information, it helps us, one, of course, remember the information in a multisensory way, but it also actually helps us retrieve unisensory information. Sticking to the dog example, that means if you learn what a dog is by seeing the picture, hearing the barking sound, maybe also getting a feel of the fur, kind of petting a dog and so on, then in the future, just the bark, so just the unisensory, can again trigger your knowledge of, oh, this is a dog, and this is what it would look like, this is what it would smell like, this is what it would feel like. So your brain is always able to connect this multisensory experience or multisensory information in your brain to also single out the different kind of sensory inputs. And the other way around. The other way around is easier, I think, to explain with food, whereas we kind of remember things also, of course, in multi-sensory ways. So we remember the experience of eating a food we didn't like, maybe connected to a smell we didn't like, and later on in life, even if we don't know what it is. So other than the dog, where you know what a dog is and then you retrieve the information, you now are presented with, for example, a completely new and foreign food to you. From background knowledge, a single sense can actually help you think what the multisensory would be like. So just the smell could already tell you what you think the food would look like, what you think it would taste like. So is it bitter? Is it sweet? And then you make decisions based off that. So there really is a very interesting complexity when it comes to how your brain is utilizing and processing this multisensory information, because the senses in our brain are integrated. They are linked together, and they really form these kind of holistic experiences that we can then remember. So how does all of this connect to my call to dismantling the hierarchy? Well, to recap very briefly, we have seen already that the hierarchy just by itself has been used in very problematic ways. On top of that, we've seen that utilizing the different senses, also the ones that in the hierarchy are considered to be lower, is really beneficial and has used very effectively both outside and inside academia. Well, of course, in academia, we have seen, however, that sadly over time, the older the kids get, that does get lost. And then lastly, we've looked at research that really has shown that providing meaningful multisensory exposure to information is super beneficial for memorization, for retaining the information that we've been presented, and therefore this really aids us in our learning process in remembering all of these things that we were taught. Therefore, I would say that there really is a need for us to rethink education, to do more research and to reform kind of the education formats, really taking the senses into account. On top of helping people memorize better, this can also make the learning environment much more inclusive. How is that, you might ask? Well, I'm sure that from looking at your peers, or if you're a teacher, looking at your students, you've seen over the time that people really do have different kind of study preferences, different learning types. Some people really benefit from having a visual input, whereas others much prefer hearing it, or they need to say it. And then again, others really like the practical aspect of being in the field, of feeling what they're doing. And then providing an environment in which people can really kind of pick and choose and benefit of all the senses being out there in terms of the way in which we are presented the information can also help every individual retain the information better and kind of adjust it to their own learning type. This doesn't mean that I think we should put all the senses together in every learning activity, because we also have to keep in mind things such as overstimulation of our peers. However, I do think there needs to be a much bigger variety, and we just need to explore all the different opportunities we have to actually utilize the senses, both in a unisensory way but utilizing scents is also such a smell, and of course, which is how research has shown, even more important, in a meaningful multisensory way in which we really combine the different senses in order to help students retain the information. Therefore, dismantle the hierarchy, embrace the multisensory, and embrace and utilize the senses. Thank you for coming to the podcast.